I pick my friends carefully. The friends that I have are the friends who haven't changed over the years. We all go through things. We all have struggles and difficulties, and you can really tell who someone really is if they change during those times of adversity. And Brother Lemke is one of those guys that, he's like a tree planted by the water. He doesn't move, he doesn't change. And I admire him for that. And it brings strength to me knowing that there are men like that. They're like a rock. Amen. Sister Lemke is just an awesome lady. Her heritage is so great in Pentecost. Her father was the one who established Christmas for Christ for our entire organization, and just been a great, great preacher, and he's preached in this church from time to time. So would you welcome the mystery speaker, amen, in Jesus' name.
Said there's going to be a mystery speaker. I was wondering who that might be. And they said speaker. I wondered again who that might be. So good to be with you. Good to be with the Schumachers, our good friends. They've just been solid friends over the years. They've been there for us, with us. We've gone through things together with them. We've shared similar experiences together. And we can both testify to the faithfulness of the Lord. Amen. You look good tonight. Praise God. Do you like to look around at yourself? You look pretty good tonight from up here. You'd be pretty pleased with yourself. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I came tonight, I thought I knew what I was going to preach tonight. And then I found out I did not know what I was going to preach tonight. And then I found out what I was going to preach tonight. Just so you're not nervous, this is called the Bible. That's the old generation iPad. These are called sermon notes. I'm called a preacher. Praise God. I always feel comfortable preaching here because there's a wonderful spirit in this house. Commend you for the spirit I feel. Is this too windy? Step back. It's me. Operator error. I want you to help me pray tonight. I've been through it in the last 2 months. Been through it. From September 14th through December 18th, I helped my dad finished the end of his life. And I was there the day that he finally passed away in his bed at home, 97 years old. It's a long time to live. Honestly, that's too long to live. So I carried that burden, and I called him every day for 13 years, every day, at least once a day. Several times I called him, he said, "You need to get a job. Please get a job." So, but I would chat with him, and my dad was a good listener. We chatted, and I maintained that relationship ever since I lost my mother in 2005. I called him every day, and we chatted, and I kept him company, did his books once a month. So it was a big hole. I find myself speed dialing his number. Nobody home. So there's a big vacuum. There's a big hole there. I miss my dad. And then January 9th, we had a mother in our church, lost her son. and suicide. And so we cried our way through that. So tonight, I feel like I've been through a lot. I feel like I need extra strength, and I'm going to pray tonight that the Lord will give me strength. I'm strong, but not that strong. I'm independent, but not independent enough. I need help. So I'm going to ask the Lord tonight to help me. Jesus, I'm in this place and I need your help. I need your strength. I need your stamina. I need your anointing tonight. I need your wisdom, your mind, your inspiration. I need you, Lord, to speak through me, to bless this fine congregation who have taken time out of their evening to come and hear the word of the Lord. May it be worth their while. May they hear something from you tonight, we pray. Bless the wonderful pastoral family, Brother and Sister Schumacher, Brother and Sister Porter, all the leadership of the church, the fine congregation of this assembly. Bless them tonight, Lord, and may this be a special time when we can draw on you. We can receive from you as we give you our thanks and our praise and our worship. I'll give you the glory, the honor tonight in that matchless name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I'm learning to depend more on him these days than ever before. I'm learning some things about myself that I'm not nearly as independent as I thought I was. I'm finding out that I need friends, and good friends. And that's why I appreciate the ministry and the fellowship that we have. We got some fine men. You have a fabulous pastor and his wife here. You've got one of the finest. You don't find these just anywhere. You can scour Pentecost and not find these just anywhere. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm always lifted up and enlightened and enriched when I'm around Brother Schumer. He does not just preach here. He preaches in the car. He preaches out in the restaurant. He probably preaches on the tennis court, too. I'm not sure. He preaches everywhere. He's just full of the Word of God, and he loves the Lord, loves the Word. So it's always an experience to be with him. Thank you, Lord. I'd like to preach this message, the dungeon of doubt, tonight. The dungeon of doubt. I don't know if you've ever doubted. Have you ever doubted? Shame, you're not supposed to doubt, remember? But we do. There's sometimes we just doubt. We just wonder what's going on and why. I guess I'm learning not to try to explain everything. When I was a young pastor, I thought I needed answers for everyone and everything. I was Mr. Know-it-all, self-ordained know-it-all. There's answers for all. But I find out the longer I live, the fewer answers I have, the more questions I have. Brother Jans used to tell me, I wish I understood all that I know. I thought I've used that a few times too. I know a lot of things, but I don't understand everything. But may the Lord just help our hearts and minds and spirits tonight. Prepare us for this week with the word of the Lord. Thank you, Brother Schumacher, for having me, for trusting me, for allowing me this privilege of preaching in your church and to this fine congregation. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2 through 6. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2 through 6. Thank you, Lord. Now when John heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Verse 6, and blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Usually I have some cute little thing to share with you before I start, but not tonight. This is not the night for cute things. This is a night to challenge our spirits and really anchor ourselves in our faith and really understand what we believe and why we believe it. He was a child of the desert, leathery face, tan skin. His clothing was of animal skins. What he owned, everything he owned, you could put in a little pouch. His walls were the mountains and his ceiling were the stars above. But not anymore. Things had changed. His frontier wall is walled out and his horizons are hidden. The stars are just mere memories in his mind. The fresh air is forgotten. The stench of the dungeon reminds him that the child of the desert is now a captive of the king. John didn't plan to be here. He didn't anticipate being here, but that's where he was. And now come the questions. John the Baptist deserves better than this, better treatment than this. He was the forerunner of Christ. He was a relative of the Messiah. He was the courageous voice calling for repentance, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord and repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He was the voice that said, bring forth therefore fruit meet for repentance. Praise God. John was the one that said, I must decrease and he must increase. The lashes of whose shoes I'm not worthy to loose. Every Baptist ought to hear this. If you're a Baptist here tonight, hear this. Hear this tonight if you're a Baptist. John the Baptist believed in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If John had lived long enough, he would have been in the upper room and received the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues along with the disciples, the women, and the 120. He said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. John knew about the Holy Ghost baptizer. John's problems began when he called the king on the carpet. You always get in trouble when you challenge a political official. And these days, it's suicide. He took a trip to Rome. King Herod succumbed to the enticements of his brother Philip's wife, Herodias. Herod divorced his wife and brought his sister-in-law home to marry. The gossip columns were buzzing. People were really intrigued with this new development, but John the Baptist was enraged, and he jumped on him like a scorpion in the desert. He denounced the marriage for what it was, adultery. Adultery. You don't hear that much anymore. It's called an arrangement now. It's called a mistake. It's called an affair. It's called a relationship. But when he married her, he committed adultery. Another word you don't hear much about, fornication. Fornication and adultery are Bible terms, and neither one of them are acceptable in the sight of God. And yet we have all kinds of people violating these today without consequence. Herod might have let him get away with, but Herodias would not. This steamy seductress wasn't about to let her social climbing be exposed. She told Herod to have John the Baptist thrown in prison. You know, women are powerful. Women are influential. Women have a way of getting their way. They have a way of manipulating, deceiving, lying, conniving. Bless you women tonight. Herod hemmed and hawed, and she whimpered and wooed, and then finally Herod gave in. She had her daughter struck before the king and his generals at a stag party. Herod, who was easily duped as he was aroused, proposed to do anything for the pretty young dancer. Things have really changed a lot, haven't they? Does that sound like today's news? Does that sound like what's going on at work? What's going on in Washington? Praise God. Anything, she asked. You name it, he drooled. Anything at all. She conferred with her mother, Herodias, who was waiting in the wings. Then she returned with her request. I want John the Baptist. You want a date with the prophet? No. I want his head. And then with a wink from her mother, she added, on a silver platter, if you don't mind. Herod looked at the faces around him. He knew it wasn't fair. He knew it was not right. He knew it was not just. He knew everyone was looking at him. He had made a foolish statement, a foolish promise, a drunken promise. He had promised anything, and now it was time to give anything. He valued the opinion polls more than he valued John's life. What was more important, to save face for him or to save the neck of an eccentric prophet? Story reeks of iniquity. It's not right, it's not fair, it's not just. John dies because Herod lusts. The good is murdered because evil smirks. A man of God is killed while a man of passion winks at his niece. It's not right. We have a lady in our church that says, that's wrong. That's wrong. And it's wrong. The questions are our questions tonight. Is this how God rewards his anointed? Is this how God crowns his chosen? Is this what God does to those who faithfully serve him? You may have asked that question. You may be wondering why you are where you are tonight and why you're going through what you're going through. You've been faithful. You've been faithful. You've been committed. You have supported the ministry in your offerings, tithe and offering, in your prayers, in your attendance, in your cooperation. You've done everything right, and yet things are not going well with you. And you're wondering. You're in the dungeon of doubt tonight, and you're asking the question, why me? Is this how God crowns his chosen? With a dark dungeon and a shiny blade. The inconsistency is more than John can take. He can't take it anymore. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples, and he asked them this question, are you the one that we should look for, or do we look for another? Are you either the one? He wanted to know for sure. I hear about doubting Thomas. I don't see a doubting Thomas. I see a affirming Thomas. I don't see a man here, John, who is doubting and questioning. I see a man who really wants to know if he's done the right thing. Is he following the right man? Is this the right cause? Am I in the right place doing the right thing? When I first came in the church, I was studying engineering. I was an honor student in engineering. That takes some work. I'm not so brilliant. I just work hard. I went from honor engineering society to probation in one semester because I wanted to find out if this is really true. That's why I love people who love Bible studies. They want to know what God says. They've heard what their churches say, what the reformers say, what the world is saying, but they want to know, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible have to say about that? What does Jesus have to say? What does the red letter edition have to say about this truth? So I studied about repentance. I wanted to find out if repentance was really necessary. Is it really important? Is it really biblical? Is it really for today? Is it for me? And so I studied about repentance until I felt confident from the Word of God that repentance is very important. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Change your mind. Don't change the church. Don't change the Bible. Don't change God, but change your mind and repent. And align yourself with the Word of God tonight. I found out that repentance really is necessary, and baptism in Jesus' name. Had never heard of that before I came in Pentecost. Now I want to know, is baptism in Jesus' name by water immersion for the remission of sins, is that really true? Is that right? Is that the proper way, the right way? That would have been easy for me. If you're going to study engineering, you go by electrical magnetic principles and laws. You don't violate those or you're in serious trouble.
So if you're going to be a Christian tonight, why not do it the Bible way? Why not do it Jesus' way? Why not obey the Word of God tonight? And so I want to know if baptism in Jesus' name was really that important. And I found out that it was. It was consistent. Had never heard that before. In 20 years of going to church, had never heard that before. All of a sudden, someone showed it in the Bible. I said, it's right in my Bible. It's been there all along. It was back in my Revised Standard Version that I got at confirmation. It was there all the time, but I didn't hear it. No one preached it to me. No one emphasized that, and I had not studied it. And I did not know it. That's why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do your homework. Study the Bible. Find out for yourself. Prove it to yourself. Then you'll know what you believe and why you believe it, because it's based upon the Word of God. When you go home to your family and they hee-haw and ridicule and mock you and say you're a member of a cult and they have their prayer chains praying that God will deliver you from Pentecost, from that sect called Pentecost, Paul said it right. He said, after the manner which some call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers. Amen. Call me what you will, but if I can stand upon the Word of God, then I have the favor and the blessing of God upon me. I have the Lord's anointing upon me, because he will anoint his truth. Amen. Praise God. I want to know if baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, heard so much about that, so much criticism of that, so much mockery of that. I was wondering, is that really necessary? Is that really true? Do you really need to speak with tongues when you get the Holy Ghost? And I found out everywhere in the Word of God, everyone who believed, anyone who received the Holy Ghost, spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. I said, there it is. There's the first century church. There's the church that Jesus established through his disciples. He sent them out as apostles. That's the church I want to be a part of. If I'm going to be religious at all, I might as well be a Christian according to the Word of God. Greatest deliverance is from religion. Greatest salvation you are saved from is religion. Because most of the people I talk to that are religious and saved are hard to get unsaved. They're hard to get in the Bible. They're hard to get to study the Bible. They haven't studied it, are not studying it, and don't plan on studying it. But if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God tonight, you must be born again of the water and spirit, Brother Schumacher. Yes, and you must study the Word of God and know what it says. John just wanted to know. He's just wanting to know, is this really right? Is this really true? What motivated John's question? It was not the dungeon. It was not even death. What really motivated that question, what prompted that question tonight, was what we call unmet expectations. Now, we all have expectations tonight. Husbands and wives have expectations of each other. Most of them are unannounced or unwritten, but they're there. You're supposed to intuitively know, intrinsically understand, psychic powers with mind-reading ability. You're supposed to anticipate the needs of your spouse, and you have expectations. And what do you know? You have unmet expectations, and then you get frustrated. And then it's always his fault. When our boys were home, we had a couple of scapegoats. It's Randy's fault or it's Philip's fault. Now we're empty nesters, they're gone. Now you guess whose fault it is. Unmet expectations. And it breeds friction and frustration. We have expectations of our preacher, of our pastor. And when he can't deliver, we have unmet expectations, and so we get frustrated. We have expectations of our friends. We have expectations of our employer. We have expectations of church members. And oftentimes we are met with unmet expectations, and it's frustrating. John was deep in trouble. He was about to be beheaded. He was in trouble. His days were numbered. At the same time, Jesus was conducting business as usual. And when he found out about that, something stirred inside him. He said, this is not right. This is not right that he should be out there performing all these miracles and I'm in a dungeon about to die. Something's not fair about that. Something's not very rewarding. I didn't work hard and sacrifice my life to be a vanguard and voice for him and prepare the way of the Lord to end up like this. This is not right. There are times in our lives when we feel like what the Lord is doing is not right. It's not fair. Why me? Why this? And why now? What did I ever do to deserve this? Is this what I get for being faithful to God? Have you ever felt that way? Is this what a Messiah does when trouble comes? Is this what God does when his followers are in a bind and about to die? Is this the way he treats them? This was not written by public relations. This chapter was not written by public relations. That would be poor press. That wouldn't sell very well. But this was written by an internal God. He knew every one of his disciples would spend time in the dungeon of doubt. Every one of them had moments when they doubted. You've had moments when you've doubted. Right. Faithful to God, love God, feel God's presence, prayer life, study, worship the Lord, study your Bible. And yet you have times in your life when there's a real doubt that comes. You wonder, why did this happen? Right. Anytime the faithful suffer consequences of the faithless, we raise a question. Every time a person takes a step in the right direction only to fall flat on his face, we have a question. A person does good and suffers evil results. You take a stand and you fall flat on your face. If God is so good, we ask, then why do I hurt so badly? If there is a God, why am I here? In this last winter camp meeting, the service was almost over, and Brother Tisdale came down. He asked for my wife and I to stand together, and he anointed us, and he gave a word of prophecy over us. And I desperately needed that word of prophecy because I've been wondering in my mind for a while, am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? Is this worth it all? Am I accomplishing anything? Is anything positive, good happening, coming out of this? And you wonder, and you doubt, and you ask. And the Lord said this, I have not forgotten you. I've watched your faithfulness. I've watched your commitment. I was there and I watched your hard work. I watched your sacrifice. I watched you do things when no one else knew you were doing it. When you weren't getting credit from anyone else because no one else had any idea what you were doing, I was there and I saw that. And I'm going to bless you for it. We need to hear from the Lord. We really do need to hear from the Lord. What did I ever do to deserve this? Maybe nothing. Did God slip up this time? No, God doesn't slip up. We do the slipping. God doesn't slip up. Why are the righteous persecuted? Why do bad things happen to good people? How can a faithful Pentecostal be suffering so badly? The problem is unmet expectations. Does God sometimes sit on his hands? Does God sometimes choose to do nothing? Does God opt for silence when we're screaming the loudest? Have you ever prayed and cried and sobbed before God? And just told him how bad things really are. And when you got all done, you didn't hear a thing. And nothing happened. And you wondered, did my prayer ever leave the room? Did God hear a word I said? Does prayer make a difference at all? Of course you didn't ask that. I was preaching myself tonight. There was a father who had a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old daughter. And the 5-year-old daughter was going out to the store to get a new Starlet banana seat bike with training wheels. This was a super deluxe. And the 3-year-old wanted one too. And the father said this. He said, this time Daddy knows best. You may not have this bike yet. The time will come when you can have a bike, but not now. And the 3-year-old reared back her head and as loud as she could scream. so the whole store could hear. She said, then I want a new daddy. Disappointment demands a change of command. Hear me. When we're disappointed and things aren't going the way we think they should, or we're not getting what we think we deserve, we demand a change of command. Israel had that problem in the wilderness. Water from a rock, manna from heaven, quail till it came out their noses, and they were not happy. They didn't get what they expected. They wanted the leeks and garlics in Egypt. They wanted a new leadership, and they wanted to eventually worship pagan gods. And because their expectations were unmet, they demanded a new leader. That can happen in a church. Be unhappy with leadership, unhappy with the way things are going, unhappy with the programs, unhappy about being unhappy. And you can demand a change of command, a change of scenery. John wasn't going to get a change of scenery. He was not going to get a change of command. John couldn't believe that anything less than release would be the best interest of the kingdom of God. It was his expectation. It was time to exercise judgment and get some action going in the kingdom of God. The one who had the power to do so wasn't helping. Wasn't helping. Here's the rule of thumb. The clouds of doubt are created when the warm, moist air of our expectations meet the cold air of God's silence. We don't want to hear God's silence. But John was missing something here. John had an expectation for himself. And Jesus said, I have an expectation for the kingdom of God. John, you've done your part. Here's the hard part for us to realize when our part is done. When our assignment is over. When we've done what God asked us to do. And it's time to move on to a new assignment. John, you've done your part. You've prepared the way. They've come, the soldiers have come, they've come to the river, they've come to repent, they brought forth meat, fruit for repentance, they've done what you've asked them to do there. The mountains are coming down, the valleys are coming up, the crooked are being made straight, and the rough is being made smooth. It's all happening. Just go tell John something. Tell John that the blind are seeing. Tell John that the lame are walking again. Tell John that the dead are being raised. Lepers are being cleansed. The kingdom of God is being established. You've done your part. Now I'm doing my part. I could release you. I could let you escape. I could do all of that, but I'm going to leave you there because the kingdom of God is going forward now. John didn't have a problem with the silence of God. He had a problem hearing what God was trying to say. Listen to what God is really trying to say. In the midst of your doubt, your sorrow, in the midst of your pity, in the midst of all of your questioning, be sure to try and listen to what God is trying to say. I've been listening these days. I'm trying to listen for things to come out of tragedy, where God can turn a tragedy into triumph, where he can turn a Joseph into a governorship. We can turn a cross into a victory over hell, death, and the grave. When things seem to be going the worst, the best may be around the corner. The best is yet to come. Praise God. Stand with me tonight. I'm not afraid of God's silence. And in the silence, be sure you're listening to hear what God is really trying to say. Not about you, it's about him. Not about your life and your survival, your escape, but it's about his kingdom. It's not about your cause and your profession, it's about his purpose, his kingdom. I want to do anything I can to help. I want to be a part of that kingdom, a part of that harvest. I pray tonight that God would take you from the dungeon of doubt into a comfortable assurance that all is well. Amen. And that things really are going ahead on schedule according to the ultimate will of God. And you're a part, you've played a part in that, you've made your contribution. Thank you for that. Lord, talk to me and give me my next assignment. Tell me what else you want me to do. Where is it that you want me to go, and what is it you want me to do? Time's running out, you're coming soon. Getting older, not younger. Less strength, not more strength. Still have a memory. Whatever's left. Lord, is there something that I can do besides complain? Besides tell you how disappointed I am? Tell you how badly I feel about the way you're treating me? God's good at what he does. He treats us well. He treats us better than we deserve. And when you've forgotten about him, he has not forgotten about you. When you're not sure where you are, he knows exactly where you are. You don't know what you're supposed to do, he knows exactly what he wants you to do. And in your doubt and your fears, the Comforter comes and speaks words of assurance, words of encouragement, words that make you want to continue on and do the will of God. Are you running to do something for him? We've got some time yet. This is 2019, off to a new year. This could be the best year you've ever had. This could be the year you win a soul. This could be the year you teach your first Bible study. And someone grabs the Bible out of your hand and says, give that to me. Is that in there? I never knew that was in there. You mean Jesus had brothers and sisters? I never knew that. Oh, my goodness. Mary, the mother of God, spoke in tongues and spirit gave utterance. Whoa. There's nothing more rewarding than someone to come into the kingdom because you gave them a helping hand. Most rewarding. You can come to church all your life and it'll never fulfill you like a Bible study and a win. Maybe the soul will. Praise God. My greatest accomplishments are not as a preacher. My greatest enjoyment, greatest satisfaction comes from bringing people into the kingdom of God. Amen. Thank you. I run to people at district meetings that come up and say, thank you, Brother Lemke, for teaching us the word of God. And I have to stop and think of who their name is. Nothing like it. Don't panic. Don't get nervous. You're in the right place doing the right thing. Jesus knows all about you. Listen up. He's got a word for you. He's got a direction for you. He cares. If you're going to do the will of God, you better know about it, right? And if he doesn't talk to you, you don't hear it, you're not going to know. So really, he wants you to know. It's not a secret, not a mystery. He wants you to know, and he will talk to you. Have you ever had God talk to your heart? You knew it was him? When he speaks, you'll know he doesn't waste a lot of words on you. He's not like a preacher. It doesn't take him an hour and a half to deliver his message. But you'll know it's him. And you'll know what he has to say. It'll be very clear, very plain. Let's listen. And he'll take you from the dungeon of doubt tonight. Bless you.
Thank you, Brother Lemke. I've said so many times, delay is not denial. Sometimes God doesn't give us what we want when we want it. We think he said no. But you don't give car keys to a six-year-old, but eventually you do. I just want to share something. I don't want to prolong this, but in 1994, we built our first building here, and the cost went over $150,000, and as a pastor, I was just devastated. Sleepless nights, didn't know what to do. And I went to a conference, and a preacher, Brother Mangan, never met him, put his hand on my chest, and he said, "Don't worry about it. God's going to not only pay for that building, but he's going to fill it up." I needed to hear that. And then in 2000, we built the gymnasium and offices, and the cost went over $400,000. And I remembered. Now, I'm not worried, because I knew God is going to take care of this. It wasn't my fault. And then in 2013, we added on to this addition, and well, the cost went over $600,000, and I thought, well, you know what? God has not failed me in 94. He has not failed me in 2000. But he has to take you through that before you really understand that when you really need him, he will always be there. Amen. Brother Lemke, that was outstanding. This is really awesome. The altar's open. Would you come?